All right, good morning, guys. Good to see you. Welcome to church. All right, very good. Well, hey, quick show of hands. How many of you guys are familiar with the satirical news outlet called the Babylon Bee? Okay, a good number of you, but not everybody. So, as I said, kind of like The Onion, it's a satirical news outlet, but it always has a Christian twist, you know, with things going on in the world around us. Well, last week, following the passing of Hulk Hogan, they published this article. It reads, the title of it is, Hulk Hogan makes surprise entrance to challenge Jacob to a wrestling match. He looks a little freaked out. Well, I read the article. Sometimes the title and the picture is enough, but I was like, I'm going to read this one. I used to like him in the 80s, you know, watching wrestling. And I just want to read you some excerpts from this article. Everything else I preach today is the truth from the Word of God. This is, you understand, this is not. Okay, here we go. So a couple of highlights. What began as a regular day in heaven quickly turned upside down as sports entertainment icon Hulk Hogan made a surprise entrance to challenge Jacob to a wrestling match. This is a quote. I'm going to do my best. Let me tell you something, brother. All my life, I've been hearing about what a bad dude you were, man. They say you even wrestled God. Well, now that the Hulkster's arrived, it's time to step up to the challenge. Why didn't I bring my water out with me? All my life, I just dreamed to be clapped for doing a Hulk Hogan impression. And I just... Oh, goodness. Well, it goes on. It says the crowd roared in excitement as Jacob, the patriarch, replied, "You want some Hogan? You got it." So there you go. We'll find out who wins one day when we arrive, I suppose. All right, well, this is part 10 in our series, Wrestling with God. We've been studying the life of Jacob in the book of Genesis, and Jacob's family becomes the nation of Israel, and they lead to Jesus, the Savior of the world. Today's passage, which is in Genesis 32, you can open up your Bibles, or if you have a Bible app, it's also there on your program that you received. This passage is the one for which the entire series gets its name, this Wrestling with God series. But to give you just a quick catch up to speed here, God chose Jacob to become the leader of his family despite him having an older brother, Esau. But we learned quickly in this series and in the scripture that Jacob didn't trust God, or he just didn't want to do things God's way, so he scams and he takes shortcuts. He swindles his brother Esau out of his birthright. And together with his mom, Jacob tricks his father Isaac into giving him the blessing that Isaac intended for Esau. But none of this scamming, as we've learned, paid off. None of it cut corners and made things shorter for him. In fact, it threw his life into chaos. Jacob's brother Esau has now vowed to kill him. And Jacob's parents sent him on the run back to his mom's homeland to live with his uncle Laban. And while he's on the way there, God appears to Jacob and says, "You didn't want to do it my way? Now you've been enrolled into my school of hard knocks. Now you got to go the long way around to get where I promised you were going to go. But I'm going to be with you, Jacob." And so Jacob goes to live with Laban, and his uncle Laban for 20 years gives Jacob a taste of his own medicine. Jacob goes from being the scammer, and that's what the name Jacob meant. It kind of meant being a scammer or a trickster. And he goes from being the scammer to being the scammy. Uncle Laban is like the ultimate scammer in the family. So for 20 years, he takes advantage of Jacob, and yet God uses that time, and we've been studying this and learning this, that even under these unfair conditions, God has been using that time to build into Jacob's character, to build his family, even to build his wealth. And then a couple of weeks ago, we studied where God calls Jacob home. It's time to go back home where I've got big plans for your family. Now on the way, Jacob is going to have a series of three big confrontations. This is on his road home. And we studied one a couple of weeks ago. That's when Uncle Laban caught up to him as he was trying to get away. And it was a real threat, but God protected Jacob through it because Jacob is finally learning to walk in God's will. So he was protected through that. And then last week, we learned about Jacob getting ready for another confrontation coming up, and that's with his brother Esau. He's seeking it out, though, because Jacob's humbled himself. He says, I got to deal with my past. I need to confront it directly and make things right. So he's resolved to do that. He's on his way. That's where we left him. But unbeknownst to Jacob, he has another confrontation right in between those two. It's happening tonight. Well, really this morning as we read the scripture. Tonight for Jacob. And this opponent, man, we thought Laban, the dirty scoundrel, was a tough opponent. We think that the vengeful hothead Esau is a tough opponent. We've seen nothing yet. Today's passage, or today's message is entitled, Winning at Wrestling with God. Here it is, the main showdown. And yes, this opponent dwarfs all other opponents. God himself? To suggest you could even win at wrestling with God sounds blasphemous. But let's dive into the passage, and you can follow along in your outline as we discover three principles for winning at wrestling with God. And the first one there on your outline, if you're taking notes, is to recognize God is your ultimate sparring partner. God is your ultimate sparring partner. Let's jump into this wild passage. And, you know, throughout the morning here, as we get to yellow print, that's your cue to help me out, to help emphasize a few of these things as we're reading. So it begins, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." That's a weird passage. Get his wife and kids off, get all his stuff off, go for just a nice night's sleep before he's got to face off with his brother Esau in the morning. And then, without any introduction at all, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak, until the next morning? That's wild. What does all of this mean? What is going on here? Well, first, we recognize that Jacob has been wrestling his whole life. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically here. He's been wrestling his whole life. He wrestled and fought dirty with his brother growing up. He wrestled with the unfair treatment from his uncle Laban. He's even in the middle of wrestling with his own fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. My brother Esau is coming with 400 men. We learned that last week. What in the world is going to go down here? He's wrestling all his life. And now, as Esau's approaching, this man seemingly pops out of nowhere to literally and physically wrestle with him. It's not metaphorical anymore. And now Jacob's a tough guy. He's not letting this man overpower him all night. He's matching him for strength, and they're wrestling. They're at a stalemate until whoever this guy is decides it's about time to wrap it up. And so he touches Jacob, cripples him for life. We're going to find he walks with a limp from now on after this event. And so what's going on? Why is such a random event in his life? Isn't this the last thing he needs? Doesn't he just need a good night's sleep? Sometimes you just need a good night's sleep, and this guy has kept him from it until daybreak. Well, Jacob's going to discover very soon. I'm going to give the spoiler. In fact, kind of the title of the sermon already gave the spoiler. But Jacob, when he's done with this fight, he's going to say, "I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And so this man, Scripture's telling us, was the Lord himself appearing as a person. This is a very special event. And despite appearances, Jacob's going to learn this is exactly what he needs right now. Doesn't feel like it, doesn't look like it, but it's exactly what he needs right now. You see, this match here is Jacob's life in a nutshell. His whole life has been a battle. It's been hard, but it's not been in vain. It's not been for no reason. God has been behind it all along, just like God is this mystery man fighting with him in the middle of the night. Now, am I saying God is Jacob's enemy? Is God our enemy? If I say he's our main sparring partner, is he our enemy? That sounds like the devil. The devil's the enemy. What's going on there? Well, let me clear up a couple of very important facts that Scripture teaches. First, yes, the devil and his demons are the enemy, okay? They're the enemy. They're the original enemies of God. They're the original enemies of people. That's why Satan appeared as this serpent to influence Adam and Eve to rebel against God in the first place. He was causing trouble for God and for people. But the second thing is when we decided to follow the devil, we joined him as God's enemies. We became the enemies. And it's where we would stay, Scripture teaches, if God didn't do something about it. God had to step in. Jesus is God in human flesh. And he paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. He suffered separation from God the Father in our place. And then he rose from the dead, proving it's all true. So that anybody who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior has their sins forgiven and enters a relationship with God. Romans 5:8 puts it this way. It says, while we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. And so if you've put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you're no longer an enemy of God. We've been welcomed into his family. We've gone from what the Bible calls objects of wrath to being his dearly loved sons and daughters. And yet, we still spar with God. Where does the sparring come in? Well, it's not that God's at war with us any longer if we belong to him, but along with God being gentle and kind and gracious and loving and tender, he also works to toughen us up in this life. He stretches us. He makes us train harder and faster to become stronger and better for his purposes, not just a workout, but to live for him. And this training, sometimes it takes the form of dealing with the consequences of our own actions, owning up to it and dealing with our own faults and the natural consequences. Sometimes this training takes dealing with the consequences of a fallen world. It's unfair stuff that's thrust upon us. We didn't earn it. It just comes because there is a real enemy out there. But what he seeks to destroy, God is ultimately the one behind it, repurposing it, and taking responsibility for everything, the good and the bad, in our lives. In this case, for Jacob, he's purposed everything in his life, all his struggles, to change his character, to become the man, the head of the family that God wants him to be. Now, what do I mean God's responsible? That raises some questions. God's responsible, even for the bad stuff? Well, I've heard an analogy, and it's pretty good. It falls short eventually, and we'll get there. But let's start, to start getting our head around this. So if my sons were playing baseball in the front yard, and one of them knocks a ball, and it smashes the window of my neighbor across the street. Now, my son did that. It was an accident, but he did it. But I'm responsible. I'm going to have to go over there, talk to the neighbor. You know, we're going to bring my son with me to apologize. But, you know, I'm going to have to pay for the window, and I'm going to have to deal with my son. And that's a mistake. But he's still got to learn something through it. But let's say it wasn't a mistake. What if one of my kids, instead of hitting a baseball, they just grabbed that baseball bat and went over to my neighbor's house in the middle of the night and just smashed their windows in? By the way, my sons are better than that. They're in the service right now. I feel like I need to guard their character along with their grandparents. So this isn't a true story. But obviously, they are at fault. Right? They're responsible in that sense, but I'm still responsible. They're still my kids. I've got to talk to the neighbor. I've got to discipline my sons. We're going to have to take care of the damages here. And so the buck still stops with me. Even if they're to blame, I still have a responsibility. And so this starts getting our head around how God can say he's responsible. Even though he doesn't do the bad stuff, he's still ultimately responsible. However, there's an obvious difference between this analogy, between me and God. And that is, I didn't know my son was going to go over and do that in advance. But if God knows everything, if he's omniscient, then he knew in advance. This is one of the biggest areas where I wrestle with God, me personally. I wrestle with this. Because there's things that happen that I shudder to give God any responsibility for, like a flood that kills dozens of children at a camp, or inoperable childhood brain cancer. God saw that coming and it still happened. I really wrestle with that. I'm being transparent here. Now, I believe with all my heart, all my mind, that it's true that Jesus arose from the dead. And when he arose from the dead, he proved he's worth believing on matters of life after death and also of everything else that he's taught on. And I believe that he has said this is his word. The Old Testament and licensing the apostles to write the New Testament. And so I believe God's word when it says God works out all things, even the bad, for the good of those that belong to him. And I believe the scripture in my head and in my heart that one day God will settle every account. I don't know how, but I believe that he will settle every account. He will right every wrong, and it will be justice will prevail in the end. And grace, too. But I still wrestle every day with those kinds of things because I don't know the answer to those things. I get the, you know, if I'm mildly convenienced in my life in some way and I'm like, okay, this is just stretching me and teaching me patience. I get that, but the big atrocities, I still wrestle with God on those. Jacob might have thought his battle was against Esau or his battle was against Laban or against his own insecurities and fears, but really what he's starting to learn is his main match is against God. It's with God. Everything in his life, good and bad, has been God working on him. Sometimes it's sweet, like when he got to marry Rachel. That was a sweet time that God was using in his life. But many times it's been a wrestling match. And for a long time, Jacob was fighting against what God was doing. But he started to change how he wrestles with the Lord in his life. And it starts coming out in this physical wrestling match in this story too. We're going to see that as we go into the second principle of winning at wrestling with God. You want to write it down. It goes, hold on to God with all you've got until he wins. That's until he wins, not until you win. Hold on to God with all you've got until he wins. I confess, I've been in a few scrapes as a young person. I mean, you know, 30-something years ago, 25, 30 years ago. I was in a few scrapes. I'm not proud of it. Especially the ones I lost. Not proud of those ones, most of all. No, and of course I wrestled with my buddies as a teenager. You know, we'd fight and wrestle, and I have four brothers. I happen to have the benefit of being the oldest brother, so that made it a little easier for me to wrestle with them. But I don't know if you've really wrestled or fought with somebody. Like, you wrestle with somebody for 5 minutes, it is tiring. It is tiring. For 10, I see a lot of guys nodding. In which it makes sense. I don't see as many women like, yeah, no, I know wrestling. Not as many, although I did see a couple. to go for 10 minutes, that can exhaust you physically. Jacob's wrestling all night with this guy. And the man has debilitated Jacob's hip. And yet look at how this passage continues while they're wrestling. This is crazy. It says, Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. He is not letting up, despite how exhausting and crippling it is. It says, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, well, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. Jacob is wounded. He's exhausted, and he's still clinging to the Lord in this wrestling match. He's no longer trying to cheat blessings out of people anymore. Now he's begging for them from God himself. That's a big difference in how he's wrestling. This reflects his life and how the wrestling match has changed. This is a man humble. This is a man that's desperate for God's blessing and God's favor in his life, not tricking praises out of other people and stuff out of other people. And so who really won this fight? Well, first and foremost, God did, which, you know, isn't a surprise that God would win a fight against one of us. He got the best of Jacob for sure. He crippled him. As I said, he's going to have this limp now for life. He even renames Jacob, which is something conquerors do. You know, somebody comes in and conquers a kingdom, they rename the land, they rename people. Like my family, we were just reading it on Friday at our family devotion time. We were in Second Kings, finished it up. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, comes in. He takes over Judah, and he takes one of David's descendants, installs him as king, but changes his name to Zedekiah. And that's a way to show dominance over. He's saying, I own Israel now. I own Judah now. That's what he was doing. So right here, God is winning this battle. He even renames him. He's showing ownership over Jacob here at the end of this fight. But the name change here signifies a change in identity for Jacob. And so, yes, God won, but Jacob also wins. He receives the blessing from God. He does bless him here. The man blesses Jacob. And he receives this identity forever changed from scammer, what Jacob meant to Israel, wrestles with God. And he's told he's being named that because he's wrestled and overcome. He's wrestled with God and with people, the circumstances and things God's brought in his life, but he's overcome. How did he overcome? By holding on to God for the victory. He held on to God until God won the victory for both of them. Now, maybe you wrestle in the way that I wrestle. Maybe your wrestling match with God is similar to what I shared with you. Maybe it's something completely different. There's so many things we wrestle about. We've heard Randy's testimony in the past about his wrestling, his battle with depression. But he's shared with us right here on this stage that even when he's in the throes of one of these bouts of depression, he really believes it's God ultimately at work in his life. And he says that when this happens, he just holds on to God's promise that he loves him and that he means good to him, even in this terrible time. That's what Randy shared with us. That's just like Jacob. Jacob is holding on to the Lord here in this match until he gets a blessing. But you think, how does he have the audacity to do that? Because God has promised to bless him. In the chapters we've been reading in the last, you know, 9 messages, God keeps promising to bless them. And so Jacob's just holding on to God's promise. I want to share with you the promise I hold on to with my wrestling match, since I shared my wrestling match, and now you're like, oh yeah, I do wrestle with that. In case you do, it's in Revelation 21. This is a promise that I hold on to and I cling to every day as I'm wrestling with God on why these terrible things. But I trust you, but here's what I hold on to. This is, by the way, this is when the new heaven and new earth are established now. And so the old ways have passed, and we're with the Lord now for eternity. It reads, God's dwelling place is now among the people. It talks about him being face to face with them. And then it reads in verse 4, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. One day, all the things that I've wrestled with, all the doubts and confusion that I've mourned over, that I've cried over, that I've stressed about, it's going to be wiped away when I'm face to face with God and he's answering me on what he did. And his answers are going to satisfy me. I cling on to that every day. I'm thankful that I can cling on to that every day with everything I've got. I wrestle now, yep. But I have great hope that the one that made me and who died for me and who's this far gotten me through everything he's called me into, that he's going to get me through to his victory in my life now and forever. If I didn't have the Lord, I mean, the atrocities still happen. They happen to everybody, whether you believe in God or not. This is a hard place that we live in. But I'm so thankful that I can wrestle. Because there's no wrestling. If God weren't real, there's no wrestling. There's just losing and dying. But thank God we can wrestle with him now and we can have hope for that victory in the end and forever. If you're in a wrestling match today, over that or whatever it is, keep fighting and keep holding on to the Lord. Hold on to his promises until he gives you the victory. That's what we sang about in these two songs in the beginning of the service. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what that means when we sing these things. Every battle in our life belongs to the Lord. If you belong to God, his victory is your victory, even if you're his opponent. Even when he wins against you or wins against me in my life, his victory is my victory. He conquered Jacob's scamming character, and he's been building his new identity. And you know, if you're in Christ, what Scripture teaches, if you're in Christ, you've been grafted into this family of God wrestlers. Scripture teaches that even though most of us probably in here were not born ethnically Jewish, Scripture teaches because of what Jesus did, this family relationship between Israel and God has now been open to the whole world, and we get to enter into that family and become a part of this family of God in Christ, this family of God wrestlers like Jacob and like so many others, like Joseph. That guy dealt with a lot of junk and wrestled with the Lord. Moses wrestled with the Lord as he's leading the Israelites. He was wrestling with God. David wrestled with the Lord. Read the Psalms and how he wrestled with God. All the prophets, man, every one of those prophets, you know, those minor prophets, they're the sticky pages. You haven't opened them yet in your Bible. No. I expect better from you guys. They're all wrestling. They're like, what are you doing, God? Even John the Baptist, let's get to the New Testament. Remember he doubted and he wondered, Jesus, are you really the Messiah or should we? And he called him the Lamb of God. He still wrestled. Even Jesus, before he went to the cross and he pleaded, is there any way that I could not go to this cross, Father? The night before he went up on the cross, but he still surrendered. That's the thing all these guys have in common. They were all God wrestlers. They dealt with all kinds of different things, you know, being scared, confused, angry, hurt, doubting, whatever it was, but they all kept clinging to their heavenly Father. They called out to him in brutal honesty. They didn't need to pray some religious-sounding, floofy prayer. They told God what it was. I hate what's going on here. I am confused by what's going on here. I'm angry. I am sad. I am mourning. Whatever it is, I don't understand. They're able to pour that all out to him. But they refused to let go of the Lord until the Lord won the victory. The final principle for wrestling with God, winning at wrestling with God, is that wrestling with God is going to leave a lasting mark. If you have a real encounter with the Creator of the universe, it will impact you. It will change you. So let's wrap up the passage and see this impact. It's really just the beginning of the impact. As the next weeks go on in the series, we'll see how it's playing out. This is just the hint toward it. But it says that Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God. That means facing God. It says, it's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, as Moses is writing this, he's saying, to this day, Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. When we wrestle with God, we walk away changed for the better. Now I know walking with a limp the rest of his life does not seem like Jacob was changed for the better. It seems like he's changed for the worse. But what's going on here? Well, this is going to be a permanent reminder of Jacob's surrender to the Lord. It's a permanent reminder that it's not Jacob's might that wins battles. It's his reliance on God and what God's going to do. Jacob's a strong guy. Remember the story of there was the big stone over the well, and Rachel and all the servants were waiting for the big strong shepherds to get there and four or five of these guys to lift the stone. And Jacob's like wanting to impress Rachel. So he walks over and he's like, yeah, I got this thing. You know, like he's a big strong guy. But now as he's about to go to his brother Esau, if the thought occurred to him at all, if I have to, I could wrestle my brother Esau. It's not happening now, as he's every single step is reminding him the next day that I can't rely on my own strength. I can't rely on myself. I have to trust and rely on God, and that's a good place to be. The lasting mark might not look like it, but it's a real win that Jacob received from wrestling with God. When we wrestle with God, we could get banged up, bruised. We can walk with a limp. But even those things that God allows to strike us, they'll wind up making us better, and he won't let us be destroyed by them. We could be knocked down, even killed, but not destroyed by them. I used to wrestle with my sons when they were little. In fact, I've got a little video clip to give you a taste of what that was like. Those are raspberries. Yeah, I don't dare do that now. They're both taller than me now. I just got to get that psychological edge from this point on. But no, these guys would run at me. The boys would run at me with all their force. They would just jump toward me, you know, like if I wasn't there to catch them, they'd be hurting themselves. They'd run at me, try to knock me down. Sometimes I'd act like they succeeded, you know. They'd hit me, I'd go, oh, and I'd roll backwards, of course, holding them and protecting them as we both fall together, making sure they don't get hurt. Most of the time, I just toss them around me like a teddy bear, you know, like it's nothing. But I was always careful, you know, not to twist or hold something too hard. You know, the whole time I was caring for him. I'd even make big, loud sounds like I was body slamming him to the ground, like, arr! You know, as I carefully lay their head down to make sure that it doesn't, you know, they're not concussed afterwards. No, they could give me 100% without any worry that they were going to hurt me, right? They could give it all to me, and I could take all of it. And of course, I wasn't using my full strength with them. In fact, I was caring for them the whole time, watching for their safety, and we'd have a good time with that. It was a lot of fun. I loved doing that. They loved doing it. And now I'll never do it again because I'm a short old man now. But guys, wrestling with God is obviously not meant to be fun. That was meant to be fun, me and the boys. That was a good time. Wrestling with God is not a good time. That's not the tender time, the joyful time. We get that in relationship with the Lord too. That's just not what we're looking at today in Jacob's life. We're looking at the hard times, the wrestling match. But there are some similarities between my wrestling with the boys and us wrestling with God, which is, of course, God is holding back. He was matching Jacob's strength. But, of course, at any time when he wanted to, he could take him out. But God's holding back. He's watching out for our best the whole time. And we might rage as hard as we can against him, but God's never really in danger. He's never really in trouble. And I don't just mean raging physically. I mean with our hurt, with our pain, calling out to him with all of these things. He's not going to be like, ooh, that hurt me. You know, no. God's tough. He can take all of it. And he'll ebb and he'll flow with us as we wrestle with him in our lives, as he's building our character, just like he built Jacob's. And as we learn the main idea today, last thing you want to write down, which is win at wrestling with God by surrendering. With God, you win by surrendering. Now, I don't mean give up wrestling. I don't mean that. I don't mean give up. I mean surrender to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord again and again, because his victory in your life is going to be your victory. All right? Now, I just want to invite the band up. We're going to have a closing song in a couple of minutes, but I want to talk to anybody in here who would say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't belong to Jesus. He's not my Lord or Savior. And I said it earlier, but I just want to underscore it right now. If that's the case for you, Scripture teaches you're not wrestling with God. You're at war with God, just like I was before I belonged to the Lord, just like all of us. And yet the solution is the same. Just as I need to remember and keep surrendering to the Lord every day in my life, the same is true. If you're at war with God, if your sin separates you from him like my sin separated me from him, surrender to him today. Lay your life down at his feet. Say, you're the boss of me now, and I trust in your payment on the cross for my sin. Then you come into this relationship. You go from being an object of wrath to being a dearly welcomed son or daughter, like so many of us have discovered. With Jacob, he was wrestling with the man, and the man, who's the Lord, says, what's your name? He made Jacob confess who he's been up until this point. Scammer.
And then he said, from now on, you're not. Now you're Israel. Similarly with the Lord, the day that I decided to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was saying, up until now, I'm a sinner. I'm a rebel. I rebelled from my Creator with the rest of humanity. But then Jesus said to me, you're no longer sinner. Now you're Christian. You've got a new name. You belong to Jesus now. You follow Jesus now. You'll keep wrestling with God if you do this just like I do. But now he isn't your enemy. He's your good and gracious Father who loves you and cares for you and protects you and will not let anything destroy you, but only be for your good in the end, even if you don't understand it right now. Maybe you want to come talk with a member of our pastoral prayer team after the service to talk with somebody about trusting in Jesus if you have questions about it, or maybe there's some other area where you need prayer. I encourage you to do that. For now, let's stand up. We're going to have a closing song, and we'll pray for our offering here in just a moment. I do want to tell you, next Sunday, believe it or not, Randy's going to be back, all right? I know it's been a while, yeah. It's okay to clap for him. I don't feel hurt. Like, you know, yeah, finally, get this guy out of here. No, no, it's okay. I'm excited for him to be back. Great Sunday coming up. We're going to have both of our teams back from Brazil, and they're going to share some highlights of what God's been doing. Remember that Team 2 is still down there in Brazil, so pray for a great end to their time there and, of course, a safe return so we can hear all those great stories and share in praising God together and what he's been doing there. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, for him paying the penalty for our sin on the cross so that we can have a restored relationship with you. And Lord, even if we don't understand the stuff we wrestle with or why it has to be, I pray we would cling to you anyway, trusting you, even if we don't understand, trusting in your promise that you've got the victory in the end. Lord, we lift up to you this offering and dedicate it to you. It's given as an act of thanksgiving and worship. It's not paying you back for anything. It's worship. But we do commit it to you, and we pray that you would use everything you bless us with here at the church to advance your kingdom, not just here in these walls, but out in the community and world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.